It is time. It is certainly time. It's been a while. Time to welcome back to All Things New Orleans, Adam Norris. Good to have you in the studio. How are you doing?
Good to be with you again.
Adam, representing the University of New Orleans, as he does so well in his job of informing and taking care of us in the media, along with other responsibilities. You have been pretty busy lately. We've had a change of administration, Adam.
It's true. We have a new president. The seventh leader in the history of UNO was announced recently. Dr. John Nicklow is our new president. He previously served as provost at UNO for about 9 months before he took over the new post. So I think there's a lot of optimism and a lot of excitement here on campus. He succeeds Dr. Peter Foss, who retired earlier this year. And I think one of the advantages that Dr. Nicklow has is he knows his place pretty well, having been here as essentially the number two at the university for about 9 months. And so I think that he starts off with sort of a leg up as the new president here at UNO.
He was very optimistic in his pursuit of this position, I know. He also is very optimistic about the University of New Orleans. He's very enthusiastic. I've seen some of his messages and emails and is looking forward to working effectively in, tell me if I'm wrong, a challenging situation.
Well, yeah, there's no question that our enrollment has dipped in recent years, as well as the challenges that we face in terms of the amount of money that we get from the state. All public universities and colleges have been affected by that diminished state support. So I think Dr. Nicklow comes in with his eyes wide open to the situation, but he sees a lot of opportunities where we can grow programs where there's great demand, and we can capitalize on the great asset that we have here at UNO, which is superb academics at a very affordable price. That's something that I think will never go out of style.
Mm-hmm. And who? Tell me a little bit about who, in terms of student body, if you don't mind, are availing themselves of these opportunities here at UNO. What's the student body looking like?
Well, our last official enrollment count was fall of 2015. That's about 8,400 students. I think we'd like to stabilize that and incrementally build up over time, especially, as I mentioned, in areas where they show the potential for growth and where there is enormous demand. As you know, academic institutions aren't necessarily the most nimble of organizations, but President Nicklow has made it be clear, let it be known that we have to be responsive to what's happening here locally in New Orleans, in Southeast Louisiana, and in the region, and to be able to meet the needs of employers.
I've noticed in walking around the campus, as I do from time to time, I go from here over to the gym or to the student center for something to eat. We are, as people know, located on the campus of the University of New Orleans, which is our license holder, actually. The FCC puts the license in the hands of UNO and grants the warrant to operate a public radio station. I notice a lot of international students. People who appear to be, where are they coming from, Adam?
All corners of the globe, actually. Our diversity is one of our greatest strengths, and that's not just a marketing line. We've been that way really for many decades, and we're almost 60 years old. Only in just the past 10 years, we've educated students from more than 130 nations. Obviously, a great many of our students come from Metro New Orleans, and that's sort of our bread and butter, and yet there's a real international flavor to our student body that we think really enriches the student experience here. When you talk about 130 nations in just the past 10 years, that's pretty rare that the world is really here in our backyard here at UNO.
That really is amazing. Do some of these folks, not just the locals, do they stay around and contribute to business and education and society here in New Orleans?
Unquestionably. That's one of the things that Dr. Nicklow has laid out as one of his priorities, is to improve the already strong bonds that we have with our community partners. So that examples are nonprofits, local businesses, governmental agencies, industry. There's always, I think, room for improvement there. But I mean, we have 35,000 alumni just in the metropolitan area, and not all those students are from New Orleans originally.
Now, UNO also monitors this community. Besides contributing to it in terms of personnel and business and education, UNO conducts surveys, and everybody's hearing about surveys at this time of year, in this political year. Tell us about the survey activity at the university.
Well, in an election year, it's always an opportunity for UNO's Survey Research Center to shine, Jack. And this year, the Survey Research Center is celebrating its 30th anniversary. Many of your listeners may be familiar with Dr. Susan Howell, who who started it back in 1986. She was a ubiquitous presence in the local news media talking about the findings of their surveys, and that outstanding work is continued now by Dr. Ed Shervinek, who's now the director of the Survey Research Center. And actually, by the time that this show airs, we will have released a new 2016 quality of life survey, also known as the UNO poll. And it's really just a gold mine of information for members of the community, for governmental organizations. It gauges voters' perceptions of their public figures, local elected officials, about the biggest challenges facing their community. And it's for Orleans and Jefferson Parish. And one of the fascinating things about the survey is because it happens generally about every 2 years, they have this 30-year time frame horizon where you can look and see how voters' opinions have changed about their quality of life, about their elected officials. And it's really, it's such an enormous resource that people can, we can pour through this information and say, okay, this is what people that live in these communities think about their quality of life, about their local neighborhoods, as well as the people that they've put in office.
That is fascinating information. Now, how would that be accessible to the public?
Well, we'll be doing a press conference, and Dr. Shervinek will be providing some analysis. We'll be disseminating it to the news media, and it, of course, will be available online on UNO's website for all to see. I think the interesting thing about the UNO poll is because it's so information-rich, you could hand it to a dozen people, and the major takeaway that each of those 12 people would have might be different. So it's really fascinating stuff, and to members of the news media, and I think to some members of the community, it's like red meat. They can't get enough of it. It's really fascinating stuff.
Let's go back to the fields of academia and music for some developments.
The university just recently announced the first Michael Mizell Nelson Public History Lecture, which will be part of a series. As some of your listeners may be aware, Dr. Mizell Nelson was a historian at UNO, a beloved and respected historian who passed away in December of 2014 at the age of 49 due to cancer. And so his father, Dr. Merle Nelson, is funding a new public history lecture series. The first lecture was just several days ago here at the university, and it will continue. And I think it's just a really fantastic way to continue to honor Michael and the public history that he was so passionate about.
Adam, I had a guest in here not too long ago with a visiting string quartet who played us some of his music, and it was fascinating stuff, very contemporary, and his name was Yotam Haber, and I understand that there are further developments with this respected musician here at UNO.
That's right. He had sort of a once-in-a-lifetime kind of moment within the past few days. Last Saturday, Dr. Haber, who's an assistant professor of music here at the university and an internationally renowned composer, he had a world premiere of his work at Carnegie Hall, and it was performed by the Kronos Quartet, which has obviously established an enormous following over the past decades, really. And so Yotam's work was commissioned as part of the 125 Commissions Project, which is celebrating the 125th anniversary of Carnegie Hall. So for him to have his work selected, have it performed at Carnegie Hall, and have it be performed by the Kronos Quartet was sort of an amazing achievement, and one I think that Yotam found very humbling. He's a rather remarkable musician, and I think our students get something pretty special here at UNO to be taught composition by him.
We do have many assets here at UNO, and you, sir, are one of them, and I appreciate your bringing us up to date on what's going on here at the University of New Orleans. He's Adam Norris on All Things New Orleans.
Thanks so much, Jack.